Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Download some friends.
Hey everybody, I'm Rachel from Rachel's Guide, your Philly hostess. I'm hanging out here with the Used Wigs guys, and we're having fun.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio, podcast number 38. Tonight, we completely ignore the rising murder rate, the abysmal professional sports teams, and maybe, just maybe, the worst collection of radio stations in the country. And instead, we celebrate all the brotherly love and goodness emanating from the city of Philadelphia, everybody. It's a Philly show. Now, you might be thrown a bit because you heard a female voice, and don't go changing the station because you don't expect us to have a female in here. But we were at the train station, and we told her we would drive her home, and actually we brought her to the studio. We have a guest tonight. This is Rachel Furman from Rachel's Guide. Rachel is a Philadelphia expert. Is that correct?
I am, yes.
You are a planning, promotion, publicity, and, of course, party maven who will tell us all about our wonderful city.
Oh, I like that. Right. I like that intro. I might use that.
That just came off the, right off the tongue, rolled right off it. And to my right, of course, I have Todd and Russ sharing a microphone and sitting very, very close. That's cute.
We can finally harmonize.
I'm breaking up the sausage, Russ, tonight. Hello, I feel good about that.
You know what's sad, Rachel? Even when you're not here, they share a mic. It's not like they have to. We're going to, of course, extol all the virtues of Philadelphia tonight, play some Philly bands, play some Philly artists.
This is our second such show, though.
Yes.
Right? This is our second Philadelphia-themed show.
It is, because there's so much goodness in Philadelphia that we want to talk about as much as possible. So, Rachel, we're just going to pepper you with very hard-hitting questions about everything in Philly.
Oh, geez.
Right? Is that right, Todd?
Word.
Do you have a whole list? You do a lot of show prep?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. I have my hat on.
Well, considering, Rachel, just to give you a rundown, out of the three of us, I'm a shut-in. I don't go out. I just don't leave my house. So you two are more in touch with the goings-on of the art scene, the music scene in Philly. She'd probably be a little bit... Maybe I should hand off the show more, and I can just take a little baby nap or something.
But even together on the same mic, we pale in comparison to, I think, Rachel's expertise.
Sure.
Well, thank you. Pressure's on. Jeez.
Rachel, look, can I just start off with one question, and then I will step back. What was the worst trend to hit Philly in the past year or so?
Oh, God, in the past year or so?
Yeah, or a couple of years. You know, just something that when you went out and about, you were just like, is this going to stop?
Well, actually, I would say it was the trend of everyone thinking they're a promoter now. everybody thinks if they pick a place and make a flyer that they are now a promoter of Philadelphia and in the scene. And there have been a couple funny ones that have popped up, and they all seem to use the exact same wording, Philly's hottest spot. Come to this exclusive club.
And, exclusive.
And it just makes it so silly. And, unfortunately, when so many people are doing that and everyone thinks they have a newsletter now and,
it makes it more difficult as a legitimate promoter because when you say that, people think I've met 400.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you have a newsletter. It's like,
Are there real promoters? And do you have an arch enemy? Is there another Philadelphia, female promoter that has a legit newsletter?
Exactly, blue skin and
a scar under the eye.
You know, I wish that there were more female promoters because, no offense, guys, but a lot of times when guys try to do the promoting thing, they're all about, let's get some hot girls to dance on blocks and, let's just put a hot girl on the flyer. And I wish there were more female promoters. I would love, I'd be all about working together. Philly's... The good thing is it's a small enough city that you get to really know everybody and know what everybody's doing and, get to see the same people who are coming out again and again.
How many legit promoters are there in Philadelphia, would you say?
Legit?
Yeah.
Well, I consider legit promoters people
who do it full time.
Yeah. And
who get paid to
Not like they're working from their corporate 9-to-5 job, trying to get their email out
updating
in the middle of the day.
Their blog.
Their MySpace page. But I'd say legitimate promoters who are really doing something, I'd say a handful, maybe five or six at most.
Is a good way to tell that your promoter is not legit if you go to their website and it's just a MySpace page?
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, I tend to think, you know, you've got to have a real, I don't know, a real web page and maybe... I don't know, a kind of good email list.
Yeah, yours is pretty slick if you go to rachelsguide.com.
Thank you.
It seems like you have the technology there and all the stuff that the average person would be able to tell. This isn't, you know, some nonsense.
Yeah, well, I hope that people can tell that. I do it full-time. I've been doing it for 3 years now, and, you know, it's a little of everything from throwing my own parties to promoting what other people have going on. And it's definitely full-time work.
And you do art as well as music and fashion and all that stuff.
A little bit of art, a little bit of retail, a little bit of restaurants.
But just out of curiosity, so if you do it full-time, like, so who is your employer? The city or?
Yeah, you know, I get asked that all the time. I represent some bars and restaurants where I am kind of like their marketing director for hire. So I'll make their whole marketing scheme or their whole strategy or kind of think about what they want their image to be and go from there. But then at the same time, I have my newsletter where I do my editorial picks and I just do fun stories about anything nightlife related. And when I say nightlife related, it could be a cute boutique that has great fashion that you can go and, you know, get a great outfit to wear out that night. Or it can be an artist who I know just from going out and being in the scene and maybe they have a show. So I guess it's evening life and nightlife. It could all be summed up into.
Hmm. And where do you go for the information? Not although maybe you don't want to divulge those sources because then they cut out the middleman, but...
Todd, you're going to give important information to all those MySpace promoters.
Now I'll have to kill you, Todd, at the end of this podcast.
Like you scour like City like Paper and Philadelphia Weekly and
you know, not
other...
really. I actually the opposite. I'd like to think that sometimes I provide information to the Philly Weekly and City Paper. I have a couple... friends in the business, and we all, you know, if we know something good coming up, we'll all share it. But for the most part, I mean, the good thing is this is a pure thing. This really is what I am doing in my life. I'm just out and about a lot, and I know a lot of people who are either throwing parties or artists or musicians. So the information usually comes straight from the source. It's not like I get sent press releases, you know, as traditional writers would be sent and kind of pick and choose the good stuff. It's really just, you know, I'll hear something through friends or I'll be out and, you know, a lot of times when I'm out, people come up and have something to tell me about because, you know, they want to get a plug for it or something. But so it's really everywhere. Mm. It's not like I really have to go looking for it. Hopefully, and usually I know it, you know, from its conception.
Rachel, I want to crash a big event that I don't have a ticket for. What's a good way to crash a big event?
You know, it's really not all that hard.
Really?
Especially with a lot of the events that I do. Mm-hmm. People keep a list almost as a formality these days.
Right.
You know, the list is so that they have a good head count and a good approximate number of how many people are coming.
Gotcha.
But if you walk up to whoever has the list and say your name like you mean it. And
if I had a lab, like if I had a lab coat and a clipboard, would that show that I'm important and I could get in?
It is. You know, I'll tell you a secret. A good thing you could do is go up to the person doing the list and mm-hmm. be like, oh, I'm so-and-so. I'm a friend of Rachel's. And most of the time, I'll be included or involved in some way. And hopefully, it'll get you a little bit of pull.
I wish I went out. I could use that. You two can maybe
use it. I like the lab coat idea. I'll
give you my personal permission.
All right.
Sweet. I'll just carry a picture of you and just flash it as I... stride right by them.
I should start making a card like, I'm friends with Rachel. I know she's involved.
All right, well, we're going to get back to this, but of course, right now, people are clamoring for a song because that's what they do normally at this point of the show. And let's, as we said, kids, we're going to play local artists right now, and I'm going to start off the show always with a little dose of punk goodness. Right, guys?
Yes.
No? Okay. This band is Trouble Every Day, and they are a Philly London type band because they're on a London record label, Vacuous Pop UK, and this is their song Pedestrian.
Could you care? I love the guy who mumbles and talks way too much.
I love the guy who talks fast with a really high voice.
Not me. I love the guy with a very sexy Long Island accent.
Used Wigs Radio, satisfying low expectations since 2005.
And we're back to the Used Wigs podcast radio show number 38 with Rachel from Rachel's Guide. And we just played Pedestrian by Trouble Every Day on the On the Way to Disaster album. Go check them out at MySpace/TroubleEveryDay, myspace.com/TroubleEveryDay. Very good band.
Maybe we could just put the link on the site, Jeff.
I could also do that, but you know, you gotta get it out there too.
So you know, yeah, you're looking for the next big thing or like where the cool things are happening, but you've gotta have your old standbys. That it's like, it's not necessarily this is cool, but this is where I go.
Oh yeah,
but you don't want to tell people.
Are you gonna give us one or two of those?
Yeah, sure. And it's funny too because it is a constant game, I guess. You find a really cool new spot that maybe nobody knows about yet, and you think like,
I can't wait to ruin it.
Do I want to save this and keep it to myself right, for a little bit, or do you know want to let the cat out of the bag? But yeah, I mean, some of my tried and true places, Bamboo on 20th and Arch, that's kind of my go-to spot if I just want to go out to a lounge and hear music. And I go there every Thursday night. That's the best night there with DJ Brendan, and Paper Street does that party. And a new spot is the lounge at La Veranda. And La Veranda, that's an old traditional Italian restaurant on Delaware Ave that's been around for like 20 years. And they just built this lounge upstairs that's completely different vibe. It's modern and really cool. It's not like the traditional
Italian. Is that where we hung out a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I saw you there. And they have it's right on the river. They have a deck overlooking it. There's all the sailboats pull up right there, so it's kind of like a little secret spot. And they do a lot of private parties, so it's a good spot for promoters or for somebody that wants to throw their event.
And a great place to get rid of bodies.
You know, it's a very good place to get rid of bodies.
You Italian.
I'm always scouting.
I'll keep that in mind. I could do Rachel's Guide to Where to Drop Bodies. I'll keep that in mind.
Look, I'm getting hits from the federal government on my website. Wow, that's odd. Rachel, who are Philly's top celebrities, not counting chefs or reality show people?
Well, you know, I think the Philly celebrities are actually people who are either artists or promoters or in bands, rather than you know, like Jervis from Survivor or something silly like that.
He's still out there. He's still
out. You know, or the sports players. The cool thing is there is a whole kind of circle of social life where all the sports players and I guess people who are in the biz do hang out, and it's not because they want to put their name on the flyer like, hey, Donovan McNabb's going to be here tonight, you know?
Right.
So, you know, occasionally we get some cool celebrities that come in because they're here filming a movie.
I've noticed a lot in the papers. Like, it used to be once a year you'd be like, so-and-so has been actors in here filming a small movie. Now it's
every day. There's a new movie being filmed. It's like Mark Wahlberg was eating here, and it's actually pretty exciting.
Where do you go if you want to catch a glimpse of a celebrity?
Well, it's the thing that brought it up is because at La Veranda, I was there the other night on Sunday night, and there were 15 of the Eagles watching Sunday night football after their game. Like, they all went there after the game. So I was like, oh my god,
how could you tell it was them? Giant yeah. men.
They looked somewhat familiar, right. You know, I knew them from somewhere.
6'5", 300 pounds of man.
But I think a lot of the celebrities that come in doing the movies, I think they hang out at places like McCormick and Schmick's or Rouge or Blue or a lot of the places that are around Rittenhouse, because that's, you know, right. the more well-known places, or like an Alma de Cuba. Usually they don't know too much about the inside spots, which I would love to be the link for them when they came to town to kind of let them know where to go.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Hello. Like,
cozy up with, what's your name, Sharon Pinkerson? Or who's
yeah,
the,
Sharon Pinkerson. I should let her know to let me know whenever someone's in town.
She's like the, talk about just booming business, bringing in movie
I know.
Business.
They've really, really done a lot. I mean, that actually brings up a good point, because lately I've been hearing about or reading a lot about Philly from national venues. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Food & Wine magazine just wrote up Philadelphia. And they wrote up, the editor actually wrote it, and she wrote how Philadelphia is redefining what it means to be a great food city.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a huge thing for us, because so many people have a perception of what our city is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we get a bad rap and we have a bad reputation.
A little bit.
Which I don't blame other cities for thinking that, because, you know, we do definitely have a few funny, quirky types. But I also read, there was another article, I'm trying to think. It was another major magazine like that that was saying something about how, you know, Philadelphia was a great town or next big thing. That was actually impressive. I can't remember what the publication was.
But I feel like those articles have been coming and coming for years. Like, aren't we always on the cusp of being...
Well, we are. Well, we are considered a great restaurant city now. We're like the best BYOB restaurant city, like for smaller, you know, like Mark Vetri, whatever, his one restaurant, it was like the... The how to do a BYOB 30 seat restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I mean, he's like a well known, renowned chef all over. And all these BYOBs just keep popping up, and they all do really good business.
Yeah, and I think also it depends on what the source is. You know, I wasn't excited when whoever it was that originally wrote, like, Philadelphia is the next big city.
Jessica. Oh, well, no. Oh, I'm talking about, I thought you were talking about Philadelphia is the next New York.
No, I remembered. No, but I think Food & Wine magazine is obviously a really credible source. And she even wrote, she was in Philadelphia for some scouting missions and was really not happy about having to come down to Philadelphia and do this article. And then when she was here, she found all these unexpected little gems, and she felt compelled to write the article.
Philadelphia
and she actually,
won her over.
Yeah, and the last sentence of the article was, you know, I'm now realizing there's more places in Philadelphia I want to try than New York.
Wow.
And I thought that was a bold statement from the editor of Food & Wine magazine.
Right.
She wrote up places like James was one of the restaurants she wrote up, Southwark, that's right on 4th and Bainbridge, DeBruno Brothers, Amada. So it was really those, like, foodie. Hmm. Ansel was another one. It's like those really good foodie restaurants.
Russ, I actually attended...
Go to Rachel's Guide. I've got them all on there.
I actually went to one restaurant Rachel just named twice.
Which?
How cool am I?
Wow.
Amada. I went on opening weekend, Amada. We didn't know it was going to be the amazing restaurant it was. It is a Spanish restaurant, and they have a floor that at certain nights of the week, they clear out the tables and people do the Spanish dancing.
So when you go in there, can you say, give me the usual?
No, I couldn't. I most certainly
then
couldn't.
You'd be really cool.
Oh, and then one night was awesome. We were, this is going to be a good seg. Where do you see this seg? This is going to be a pro seg. I was there at my friend Brian Seymour. It was his wife's birthday. So we had a big group, and we had the table on the stage, and they had this very nice curtain around it. Mm. So we felt kind of like, you know, star treatment.
Fancy.
I don't know how we got. Very fancy. And it was awesome. The meal was fantastic. It's tapas, so it's small dishes. And you feel like a pig. You don't feel like a pig. Well, you do, because you order, like, you know, five plates of food.
Mm-hmm.
They're small, but you just keep ordering and ordering.
Mm-hmm. So Ferdinand is a great spot
tapas?
For that, too.
Yeah. Oh, it's so
yeah,
much fun.
Yeah, you can order
in
10
Northern
dishes.
Liberties, right?
Yeah, it's right in Northern Liberties, right at Liberties Walk. And that's one of my new favorite restaurants, too. That's a great spot.
It's even a better spot than when the bill comes and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. this is gonna hurt, but it's worth it. Carrie's a good friend. It's her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carrie's sister goes, oh, she whips out a plastic and goes, my dad wants to pay for this all. Sorry he couldn't make it. And I was like, yes.
Nice.
We love you, Carrie's dad. I'm going to have another plate of that small little
thing. So much better than his attendance.
But that's like the happy, the happy memory I have of that restaurant. That was the food so much, or the fine talk and the ambiance and the wine. It was when the bill came and someone took care of it.
Everything tastes a little bit better on someone else's credit card.
Yeah.
But if they said it at the beginning of the
just
meal,
right.
You know, it would have been a lot different.
And well, the segue, Jeff?
The segue would, speaking of Brian Seymour, good friend of the show, good friend of ours, mm-hmm. is a fantastic Philly artist, and he's playing tomorrow night at the Tin Angel, headlining the show. But, of course, this podcast will not be ready in time. But we'll check out Brian Seymour at brianseymour.com later.
Rev up your time machines and head back to October 18th.
This is Brian's, one of his best songs off of his CD, Perfectly Long. This is called Are You Still Here?
Necessary conversation, ordinary inspiration, takes one to know one, I guess. Takes one to know one, I guess. She couldn't wait to tell me about it, and as she did I tuned her out. See, I've been around long enough to know when I'm a mirror. And if I was digital, but I still have to see her. Stealing your imagination, selling useless information. I've been around long enough to know when I'm a target. If I was deaf and dumb, would I still have to buy it? Are you still here? Are you still here? Have you disappeared? Just like everyone. Just like everyone. Are you still? Shop the revolution. Thank the Lord for revolution. Have to admit it's getting better. Have to admit it's getting better. It's getting better. Are you still here? Are you still?
And we're back. That was Brian Seymour out of Philadelphia, and that was his song called Are You Still Here? Off the Perfectly Wrong CD. And I got to tell you, that CD is perfectly right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that cheesy? It certainly was. Sorry, Brian. Sorry, Brian.
Back to your question before about who are the celebrities in the city. I think that DJs are the celebrities.
Oh, okay.
Like the Bella?
Yeah. No, the DJs, not the radio DJs.
I love that John DeBella.
The DJs that do, you know, the right. nightlife and the nightly, the
well,
weekly
it's funny.
Parties.
You just mentioned DJ Brendan. I like, mm-hmm. that shows a lot of restraint on his part just to go with the moniker DJ Brendan.
Well, you know, he has Brigham at the end of it, so it just depends on the day. But,
okay.
But yeah, some of them have some silly names. Other ones just go by
yeah.
their names.
I mean, you know, I think Josh Wink was the big one. Like, mm-hmm. you know, in like, you know, Philadelphia for the longest time, you know, when I was actually going out. And I was like, that's fine. He took his name Josh and added something cool to the end of it, you know. But if you're just like, I'm DJ...
Herbert.
Well, DJ Maurice.
That's like King Britt. I always thought he made up the name, and his name is really King Britt. I was like, that's the coolest name ever.
That
you're
is
bound
a cool
to
name.
Be a celebrity. But it's also interesting because a lot of these guys, like Rich Medina, King Britt, they... Or even The Roots, or Questlove from The Roots.
Schoolie D, who we interviewed on the show, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is MC Schoolie D. Looking at my Gucci. It's about that time. You're checking out Usewix Radio. Peace.
Well, they'll do something in Philadelphia, and I don't know if it's just because they're from Philly and or if Philly really is a much tougher crowd, but they don't get any props. You know, they'll do an event, and maybe a couple of their friends will come out. And they go to other cities, and they are mega celebrities.
Really?
They're,
why don't you go to other cities?
We should take a tour and see.
I wonder where we're
going.
We don't chase because the hot dog lady doesn't even recognize us.
Very, very true. Here comes another fantastic SAG. I think I remember Rachel saying something about The Roots very early on. Correct?
Yes, we love The Roots.
Correct. Everyone loves The Roots, and you should be. They're Philly's greatest live act right now. Mm-hmm. But one of the guys from The Roots, I believe, Dice, I believe.
Yes.
He is in a new band?
Yes, it's kind of a side project that he's taken on. And Nikki Jean is the singer, and she's awesome. She's got adorable style. She's a great singer, and she does a great job as the lead lady. And it's, you know, it's not quite hip-hop, not quite rock. It's not quite pop. They try and do something in between. It has a lot of influence, even from, you know, some influence from back in the day, like old soul or old... you know, kind of older styles that they bring in from here to there. But it's really good. It's not really easily categorized, so I guess we can take a listen and see what you think.
I think we most certainly will.
Yeah, they're about to be really big, though. They're doing a lot of stuff right now, and we're going to be proud that they came from Philly.
Excellent. This is Take Me Home off the Long Tail EP by Nouveau Riche.
Yay.
If you take me home, I'll let you in. I see you caught up there, and I can breathe.
you all the music and pop culture chat that people were talking about 2 weeks ago.
That's so 2 weeks ago.
Used Wigs Radio, always one step behind.
And we're back. That was Nouveau Riche with Take Me Home off their Long Tail EP. And you can check them out at their MySpace page, Nouveau Riche Band. I could spell it or you could just look it up. you'll figure it out. Nouveau Riche. Very good, very different. I enjoyed that a lot. I think it's a nice little change of pace from what we're used to hearing. Agreed? Yes. Yeah, Jeff.
I feel like when you say it's a change of pace means that you're not that crazy. Though.
No, it doesn't. No. I see. I'm actually honest with most of the things I say here, Todd. I'm not a liar.
That's true. You actually haven't pulled too many punches. You said point blank that you
really like. Yeah. I don't like you.
Yeah. Me and my music, the choices I make.
Todd, it's not your music I don't like. Oh, yes, it is. No, I'm kidding, of course. Rachel, what would you like to promote? What's going on right now in your world that we could talk about?
Well, I've been spending a lot of time on something called the Red Bull Art of Can, which if you've been anywhere in the city, you've either seen a billboard or city banners all along Broad Street.
I have.
Or the bus shelter ads. This I've been working on for about 9 months, so it's a pretty big deal. Philadelphia was actually selected to have it this year, and it's a big art contest, basically, where people make artwork out of recycled Red Bull cans. And they pick a different city every year, and the fact that they picked Philadelphia is exciting because it means that they think that our art scene can support something that is of a national caliber like this. I mean, they have artists from... We had artists from Russia submit things, artists from Quebec, pretty much every state.
Narberth.
Todd Marone himself is actually an exhibitor in this. And,
are you?
So that's,
Did you do it?
Actually really exciting.
You can actually sign on too and vote for your favorite for like the People's Choice Award. And I think right now I have like a 2.4 out of 10. So.
If you go to RedBullArtOfCan.com, you're going to talk over the URL again, Russ. My God, Russ! Red Bull
Don't
Art of
Can. Ever talk to me like that my studio.
Ooh, we're about to have a fist fight.
I've awoken the Kraken. Sorry for that.
Kraken.
But yeah, you won't believe. I mean, you won't believe what some people made out of cans. I mean, some people have some huge amount of talent and a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah,
apparently.
I'm looking at a train, an airplane. Someone made a toilet.
The exhibition is actually running from October 20th to November 2nd, and there's a lot of events that are going on in between. Like, the best time to go, I would say, is First Friday, which everybody knows First Friday in Old City is bananas for the art scene. And we're going to have just about any DJ who is anybody right now.
DJ Brendan, bring him.
Yeah, well, we're going to have Questlove. We're going to have Cosmo, who used to be from Philly and is up in New York now.
Awesome.
And I think King Britt, I believe, is going to do a set. And every hour, we're going to have a different DJ, kind of as an open house for this thing. So Friday, November 2nd, would be the ultimate time.
And that is at the Fuel Collection?
Yeah, it's at the Fuel Collection, which is at 3rd and Arch. It actually used to be the Real World House.
It's a great space.
You can imagine. It's
an old converted
huge
bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or no, it used to be Old Siemens Church.
Watch your mouth.
I think that we should bring back one of the other terms that Rachel used there, that First Friday is bananas. We need to say that kind of stuff more. Like,
I love
like
that.
How was work today? It was bananas.
I know, you have to get creative. You can't get just say, oh, it's awesome, or it's so cool.
Do you have a great repertoire of adjectives just because you promote so much?
I constantly try not to say awesome.
We say fantastic.
We should do like a quick one. Okay, it was...
sexy.
It was.
Awesome.
It was.
Wild.
It was.
Wow. You caught me.
I was waiting for bananas to come back.
And then after bananas, insane, all this music starts playing. I remember growing up, speaking of bananas, there was a... I'm old. And there was a magazine called Dynamite. And it was a magazine geared to kids.
Highlights?
Yeah, no, but it was more like Chachi would be on the cover.
Oh.
like the Big Bopper?
Christy McNichol would be on the cover. You know, like when a girl...
Alyssa Milano?
No, she wasn't even born when this magazine was out. So it was all this... It was all these stars
Hot
of the
toddlers
day. Like Tracy Austin, the tennis star. And like, I remember like...
I have no idea who any of
my aunt and uncle were teachers, and they would bring us Dynamite. And it was like every Friday we'd all meet at my grandma's house, and they'd bring us Dynamite magazine. It was a Scholastic magazine.
And you ate bananas with it?
No,
what's the tie in here?
This is the longest. I'm struggling up that hill to connect these two. When I was a little kid, there was a magazine. It was Bananas. And Bananas was the Dynamite for little kids. And I always remember I had to read Bananas I had to read bananas.
But
I couldn't tell Nick and Judy to be like, listen, I'm a little too old for bananas. Give me some dynamite. Bananas.
I bet you feel real special.
Yeah, bananas would have on, like, a clown, you know? Like, holding an easel. I'm like, yeah, this is a lot of effing fun. Now, can I check out, like, you know, Erin Moran, Shortcake, what she looks like in a bathing suit, please?
So, you know, at one point, there were a table full of adults trying to figure out, like, okay, what's cylindrical and would appeal to younger kids? What's cylindrical and would appeal to older kids?
Dynamite!
I got it! Bananas and dynamite!
You can look up Dynamite. It was a fantastic magazine. Just great. And that was one of our most tangential. All right, so Art of the Can, Red Bull.
Yes, Art of Can's coming up. But also, I'm excited personally because I'm getting ready to relaunch my site.
Oh, cool.
And it's going to have a whole TV section.
Ooh.
And also a radio/podcast.
Yes, up in there. Why wouldn't you?
Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm really trying to do a lot more with TV and video. I mean, taking pictures is fun, and everybody loves pictures, mm-hmm. and that's a big part of my website, kind of taking pictures of everywhere I go just so other people can see it if they've never been there.
Sure.
But, you know, like I said, now everybody's a promoter, everybody has a newsletter, everybody's out.
So you have to
step it up. There's five photographers at the event handing out cards like, find your photo here, find your photo here.
Oh, is that a big?
So
oh, wow.
I really think it would be fun to do a lot more video, and especially because I just did that spot on Channel 10. I really, really loved it. It was a lot of fun, and you know, it takes you there. You get to physically see the places.
And so. Videos are viral. So if you have a video from an event or scene and one silly thing happens,
mm-hmm.
then it will be shot around the world like, hey, here's Rachel. But in the background, like, someone is caught picking their nose and then falls on the ground.
Here's Rachel falling down the steps after walking.
And then it's viral. You get 2 million hits. And then the next thing you know, you're the YouTube
star. I'll have to try that.
So, Russ is giving me the sign that we need to play a song. But this is another great Philadelphia area band called the Hoolahees, and this is Don't Be Mad.
I'm sorry that I punched you. I could have sworn that you were Mike. You see, I had mistaken you for someone I didn't like. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. I see now that you didn't want your windows to be broke. You'd see though if you were my friend who got me with a joke. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. Charges that would just be overreacting. I apologize, I ruined your life. It's my fault, I can't lie. We'd both be so much happier had I beat up the right guy. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. Don't be mad.
Don't be mad.
Okay, that was the Hooligans with Don't Be Mad. And I'm playing bass in that song.
I was going to say the bass was fabulous.
Thank you.
In that song.
And you air and you air bass the whole time as that song was playing. That was really odd.
And Todd was painting in the background.
And you high fived afterwards.
Yes, we did high five. You could probably hear his brush strokes in the back.
Right. The Hooligans is a kind of music art. Visual project of just all-encompassing nuttiness, extravaganza, fun, right? Is that a good way to explain
that?
Is this the one that you sometimes paint live to?
I actually painted my submission for Art of Can live with the Hooligans first, the premiere, the very first gig, which was at Burlap and Bean, that was the first gig, right?
No, was it after you shotgunned a couple Red Bulls?
Yeah.
Had some energy going.
Yeah, I was all buzzed. I was hopped up on Red Bull.
Nice.
It was the Red Bull painting.
Is there a competitor to Red Bull? Like, is Red Bull...
There are a lot.
What's
with
the monster, right?
Yeah.
You know what was really funny? I went to a Phillies game. Yeah, I know, sadly enough. But I went to a Phillies game, like, the second to last one before before they got the championship, whatever it was. And a truck pulled up from Monster, and they pulled up in front of the stadium, and they were like, hey! And they just, like, whipped open a cooler and were handing everybody Monsters. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny, because seriously, 75% of the people would grab one, I watched them open and drink, and they were going...
Imitation is the best flattery, I must say.
And they were throwing it right in the garbage.
Oh,
like, walking away from the thing and going, like, oh my god, and just throwing it right in the garbage.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because no matter what, when you're out at the nightclub, it's almost like they've got the Xerox thing going. You never say, I'm going to make copies, you say, I'm going to make a Xerox. Mm-hmm. Well, people mm-hmm. always order, you know, a vodka and Red Bull, and no matter what, they want the vodka and Red Bull. So I think that, you know, Red Bull has really made their place
in
the market.
You're saying Red Bull is synonymous with the word energy drink.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like hacky sack, Q-tip, or Kleenex. Yeah,
exactly. You don't ask for, like, a vodka and energy drink. You ask for a vodka and Red Bull.
Yeah, good point, right.
Do you want to take the show down to a horrible, boring topic off of that? Do you know a lot of companies?
Yes, please.
A lot of companies that have names that have become synonymous with products.
Like Oreo, right?
Like Oreo or Band-Aid or
Xerox.
They will fight dictionaries that take that product name and give it mm-hmm. a definition of what it is. Do you know why? Like, let's say the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, will take the name, like, Band-Aid and put it in there and be like...
Because if it's in the dictionary, then other companies can use it.
Right. It's like a copyright problem.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I guess
right.
it's trademarked in a sense that you can't
exactly.
just put it in there.
So
it's like public domain if it's in the dictionary.
It's mm-hmm. almost considered public domain, so then these companies are like, it hurts them. They all have 1,000 lawsuits out against people who've used their names incorrectly, you know, in marketing material they're suing, and it hurts them in their fight to kind of combat this.
Ladies and gentlemen, funding for this latest edition of Jeff's Dictionary Talk was provided by Kleenex and Xerox.
Boy, do I bring a show to a screeching halt. That sound you heard was people fumbling for the fast forward on their iPod. Okay, people. We have Rachel, I have another. Were you born and raised in Philadelphia? Is that
yes,
you know
I
so
was.
Much? Now, can you give me your favorite Philly words that people pronounce? I know my favorite is home.
Home. Yeah.
Boom, right? Tune, loon.
Todd, you're Philly. My wife's from Philly but has
water.
No accent. Water.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I've been here 15 years and certain things creep into my vocabulary. Like, I'll say home. Home. Almost home as mm-hmm. I hear. But what
Instead
are...
of home.
Right.
Like the Jersey
word home.
Say.
Right. What are your favorites?
John.
John is a great Philly word, and it's like it's kind of like Smurf. It could mean anything. Like,
right, John
Smurf
now, doesn't John mean kind of like a thing,
John,
like
it's
having
like
a John?
Everything, and it's all encompassing. It's like, you know, you'll give
like
me that John.
Are you sure that's like, Philly in origin?
I believe so,
yeah.
Matter of fact, if you go to urbandictionary.com.
It'll tell you?
Yeah, it tells you mm-hmm. Philadelphia.
But
nice.
I mean, just the pronunciation, the way it glasses instead of glasses. I'm wearing glasses, like... I got some classy glasses from my,
well, you know.
From my cousin. The T at the end of cousin is ridiculous. I have friends
I
who are college
you.
Professors from Philadelphia who still will put the word T at the end of cousin.
My mom lives in Santa Barbara now, and she's lived in California for years, but no matter where she goes, someone will pick her out. Like, wait a minute, you're from Philadelphia, aren't you? And it's somebody usually somebody else who's from Philadelphia, and they're like, yay, one of us.
You know who's like the queen of the Philly accent is on television? Lynn Doyle.
Oh, yeah, she's great. Woo! That's where I
went to college with her daughter. That's
oh,
so
my
funny.
Goodness.
So they're definitely very
oh,
good.
Yeah. She is just doesn't even try to hide it.
Uh-uh.
You know another great thing about Lynn Doyle? When Christmas time comes around, she's the happiest woman on earth. She's like, come to my house for our special where I'll show you our 12 Christmas trees in the different parts of our giant house. Her husband is one of the top three guys at Comcast.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
That's how she got the show. Oh, anyway, yeah.
So maybe that's how I'll get it.
They have a giant house, and she's Christmas crazy. So, I mean, that appeals to no one.
Random facts. On Used Wigs.
That's pretty much the size of it.
Yeah. That's how we do tangents.
I don't know why this made me think of it, but another pet peeve of Philly nightlife, I hate when people put an apostrophe S on the name of the restaurant or the club. Like, ooh, instead of, you know, Gigi, it's Gigi's.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or I'm trying to think of another example. Like, instead of Bamboo.
Cats and Genos?
No. If there's not supposed to be one.
Oh, if you're saying if it's not, like, a possessive
That's
person.
People always did
exactly.
that with CBGB in New York City. Like, mm-hmm. people would be like, I'm playing CBGBs.
Yeah, or, like, people used to do it with Rococo all the time when that was right on Chestnut.
Oh, yeah.
Rococo's.
I went there.
It's not. Forget the apostrophe S. It's just the
party right. That is
at
a Philly
Rococo.
Thing.
Or like, the party is at Gigi.
I never thought
Gigi.
About that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, in the American black vernacular, a lot of people say my mom's instead of my mom. They put that extraneous S at the end for no reason.
True, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to show you my knowledge of Philly right here. This is called Jeff's Top 5 Gastropubs in Philly. Do you like the word gastropub anymore?
What does that mean?
It means it's a pub that really takes pride in the food that they serve.
Is that what it means?
Yeah.
That's clever.
It's like a pub, like... It's the foodies have to have a term.
Right.
So like if you
yeah,
go to
but that's not a very because gastro to me it's like gastrointestinal disorder.
Right.
It doesn't
yeah.
sound
yeah, you
very,
think of gas.
But it's a foodie term and foodies have a lot of
like
terms.
Gastrointestinal.
There's a lot of great gastro pubs.
Yeah,
as you
I was going to ask you about it. Basically like
anywhere that has gastro in the title.
Like normally you'd go to a pub and you have a hamburger and fries, but right. then you go to a pub and they're like, you know, we're starting off with lobster bisque and then we have a Chilean sea bass mm-hmm. and you're like, oh shit, this isn't just a bar.
It's the best of both worlds.
Yes.
It's like you get the relaxed atmosphere,
exactly.
you get your favorite beer, but you also get the good food.
So I'll just run down with my limited knowledge.
You're going
to
say
I would
third.
Like to hear.
Of course.
Like
North Third.
North Third, number
yeah.
one. Mm-hmm. It's just the best bar in the history of bars in Philadelphia. Fergie's number two. Not so much with their food, but the food they do serve is fantastic in its simplicity. Check out the Ferger Burger for you people who eat meat. And one of my favorite lines when we played Quizzo there was team names, go with team names. And our team name was there's a Ferger Burger in the toilet. And we won best name. Bishop's Collar, another one, has
that,
great
yeah.
food, even mm-hmm. though it's a bar. Ten Stone, down on 20th and
yeah,
Grand South.
It is a good place.
It's great people watching. In the summer, hang out there, have a couple Stellas, have some risotto fritters, fantastic.
They are.
And just watch people, it's great. And the granddaddy of them all, the Standard Tap, still fantastic.
Yeah, that's the classic.
But it's very crowded, and I came up with a term with the table hovering, where they never had seating. You would just have to wait for someone to get up from the table.
Mm-hmm.
For
the
you
table
to get
stall.
So you just
the
like
table
stand
stall.
There with your blinker on.
So you
yeah.
would literally I can't tell you how many like nights you would just be like, those people just had their desserts.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over there. And you would just stand
oh,
by
you're
table.
There well before dessert, or you already missed.
Yeah,
somebody
you're
else
right,
is stalking
right.
before
and you.
You
would just...
Yeah. So what's
would
the
you
trick?
Not
you
put Monks on that list?
No, because I've never been, but I heard it's good. That's why I want to yeah. ask you. Add to my list. Monks.
Monks, mm-hmm. I would add.
Rachel.
Good Dog is a great one.
Huh? Yeah. Good Dog, that's right. I've heard about that.
That place is getting a ton of good press.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it?
When I went there, I was like, it was decent. Mm-hmm. But people are talking about it like it's like the next big thing. So mm-hmm. maybe I try
another
it
great one is New Wave Cafe.
That's the one you always... That's been
that's
around.
A great
that's one of the first, right? That's kind of ushered in that... And that's down towards South Street?
Yeah, it's a second
Queens
in...
Queens Village?
Or third in Catherine, somewhere around there.
Royal Christian. Tavern's another one down there.
Yeah, Royal Tavern is a classic.
Right.
But speaking of North Third, the owner of North Third just bought and totally rehabbed Silk City Diner.
Yes!
And if you haven't been there, I highly recommend it. It still looks very diner-ish. You know, mm-hmm. he didn't make it like a super trendy. It's not like continental or anything.
Right.
But the food is amazing. It's just like North Third style, and
they have bands and live performances.
Mm-hmm.
There
they
too.
Still have the one side
Elle
Silk
does
City
play there
that's
not
like
long
the club.
Ago.
Yeah, they have mm-hmm. bands, they have DJs, and that's on the one side, and then the other side is the diner, and you sit right up at the diner for the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really cool spot, and they actually were just on Food Network
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were featured on a show about like diners and dives and drive-ins.
Oh, with Guy Fieri is the
host.
The
way Jeff perked up when he said Food Network.
Rachel, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat 95% of the food on the Food Network. I don't eat any of it. But I love the show. I love people creating stuff. And creating food to me is very cool how they do it.
Well, they just got featured, and awesome. I'm really proud of them. He did a great job, and Mark B. is a great guy. He's the one who owns both spots. Yeah. His story, even for North Third,
wasn't he a plumber?
Yeah, he started out in construction.
Yeah.
And he bought the spot, North Third, just because he wanted to rehab it and fix it up. But he was trying to have somebody else come in and start a restaurant there. And he just couldn't find somebody that had the right vision that he wanted, mm-hmm. and everybody else wanted to make it this like super trendy spot. Hmm. And so he went for it, and everyone thought he was crazy. And was like, you know, you can't start a restaurant. You're not in the restaurant business. It's so competitive. You're out here in Northern Liberties in the middle of nowhere at the time, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, North Third became one of the most recognized and known and well liked spots in Philly. And then a couple of years later, he was able to buy Silk City Diner, which is huge. Mm. So it's kind of a good story, and he's a good guy to support. You know,
and it's amazing that they've never lost that vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just figured it would be overrun by nonsense people and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
but you still go in there, and it's still like the same awesome-looking waitresses. I don't know how they do it, but...
Well, his thing is also, he listens to his employees.
You know,
he doesn't tell his chef, this is what I want you to do.
Yeah.
He says, what would you want to do?
And so it's an advantage that he doesn't have experience in the restaurant business, perhaps.
He doesn't have ego.
He allows everyone to do what they do best.
Mm-hmm. And the best music ever in their back room.
Always the best music. Really eclectic, interesting, like, pop culture artwork all over the place, like toys and masks and...
Yeah. So no one go there and ruin it for us, all right?
Well, I think by now everybody should have heard of that one at least. But even at Silk City, when he was booking the DJs, he asked all of his girl bartenders, you know, who are your favorite DJs? Who do you want to DJ here? And, you know, it's all of their friends that are going to be coming anyway.
So the boy bartenders, their opinion doesn't matter.
It didn't hold as much weight as hot girl bartenders, as in life it usually works.
So it goes.
The way you say boy bartenders, I just have a visual of like, I can't believe I'm a bartender.
One of those little like monkey hats.
Yeah, right. I just want to go, I just want to play outside.
Can I get you something with that?
Twiddly D.
All right, people, time to play a song. Another Philadelphia artist, and here's one of my faves. And I've learned about this guy from old John Solomon in his City Paper podcast. He's a big fan of his, and his name is Adam Arkuraji. It's a very hard name to pronounce, but a fabulous person to listen to. This is a song called 1981 off his self-titled 2006 CD on Philadelphia's High 2 Records, Adam Arkuraji.
Nice, I know him.
Do you? Oh, cool.
All of the hidden instruments from before I was born keep sending miles of discrete transmissions to shake me back and forth. The part in my hair like Rambo before he ran off and traded his love for a life of being cold. Oh, one day a few pictures taken will spoil, and for all those that come
all the jealous winds I could gather wouldn't stretch these tall sails tight. But oh, this nursery for lost jealous sons sings in a low and continuous refrain of joy I'll never know. Then just like the shake and the tremble from throats as before, the promise that's past, but the anticipation of 7,000 mornings. But between you and me, I'll be singing through my teeth. Sing in heaven's perfect voice and roll, imagined in real and unknown, a song like the poles, an electron chain from the center of the sun, the rim and the roll of the space that the massive ones hold. One day you will wear out and collapse and eventually explode. But between you and me, I'll be singing through my teeth and smiling as I go. And the words may
back, people. That was, as I said, and pronounce his name nice and slowly, Adam R. Kuraji. Go to his website. It's the, go to hightow.com, hightow.com, and check him out. And we're at the part of the show where we like to wrap things up, but it's not like, you know, we're wrapping things up and it's not the best part of the show. It might be the best part of the show. This is fantastic part of the show, I'd say. Rachel, what are you listening to? Right before you go out at night when you're putting on your cute little outfit.
I really like a lot of old stuff, a lot of old soul and old R&B. I'm really into Sam Cooke.
Wow.
And I have a lot of old blues albums. I actually have a little Fisher Price record player.
Collision play?
That, you know, you just plug it in, you could take it anywhere. So if I'm in the bathroom drying my hair, I'll bring it in the bathroom. If I'm in the bedroom, I'll just unplug it and plug it in there. So I have a couple old R&B and soul records that I like to play, and I think that beats anything modern. Everything modern is based on it anyway. So.
Vinyl. Vinyl. Now that's a whole new element to our ongoing battle about physical media.
I think that, well, we talked about this, because I think in 5 years from now, vinyl will outsell CDs.
Yeah.
That's a whole other show, people. Russ, what are you listening to?
I'm listening to, well, first of all, I'm going to go back to a Philly band, because just recently I've started re-listening to the latest Sound of Urchin album.
Okay.
And it's heavy, but it's great.
What are you calling the first?
No, the latest one.
Oh, okay. The Diamond?
The Diamond. Yeah. I mean, it's their heaviest, but it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it took a little time to get into.
Todd.
I spent a lot of time with the new Weaker Than album, yes. Weaker Than's album, that you by your recommendation, and then that's what I did the sketchy review for. So I listened to that about 2-3 times through last night, and I really enjoyed it. It's kind of solemn, I think, you know, and
sad.
Most of the songs are a little melancholy and kind of lonely, but yet there's kind of this underlying positive, kind of optimistic tone too. I liked it.
What are you listening to, Jeff? Well, Jeff, I have to tell you that the latest Pinback album is brilliant. It is the best album I've heard all year. It's called Autumn of the Seraphs. They're a little geeky, a little kind of math
geeky is the new
rock
we went through.
Kind of, but the music itself is beautiful. And you know, with all the quirky music and the deconstruction of music that's out there, where people are trying to do more lo-fi and, you know, kind of just odd stuff, just hearing beautiful music, well-produced orchestral music is just, it really just kind of filled my soul with, with happiness. And I was like, this is great. It was Friday night. I had four German beer, Oktoberfest beers in me, and I was feeling a little emotional.
Glasses of wine. Do you find, get a little worried.
Do you find, I don't, not to launch into a huge discussion about this, but do you find that when you're drinking, you appreciate music more?
Oh, yeah.
I do, too.
I appreciate everything.
I'm very moved by music.
Me, too.
And
after
when
a couple
smoke,
drinks. Oh, yeah. Some people have said that.
So I've been told music is much better.
Licking toads, listening to those.
That's what I've been listening to. Now, they're all fantastic recommendations, people. And about how about we go to shout outs?
Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray!
Hooray! And Rachel, you have a lot going on, obviously. So if there's something that you did not mention that you would like to mention here, this is the time.
Well, I mean, just in general with nightlife, if you're looking for things to do, I'd been talking about who else is doing, you know, parties that are legit or good.
Yes, we need to know the
so
legit.
So I would say Paper Street is the classic. Paper Street, it's paper-street.com. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who, when I was an intern first getting into this this whole nightlife thing, they were the ones throwing parties, and they still are. So they're kind of the classic. They throw some of the best parties in the city.
Cool.
But another guy, Jay Simplefly, he's kind of like the next, you know, the young buck coming up and doing this promotion thing. And he's really making a name for himself and bringing some great DJs to the city. So we're proud of our Jay, and he's really he's kind of the next one coming up who seems to be getting it and doing a really good job at it. But basically, whatever pops up, I always have on my website. So
my website is?
Rachelsguide.com.
Right. Your one-stop shop for everything Philadelphia, for what's going on in nightlife, party planning, promotion, and fish products, correct? And cooked fish products and girls fist fighting?
Yeah, you know, in a perfect world.
Occasionally. When
right?
It pops up.
Excellent. Todd, shout out?
Philadelphia show. Philadelphia shout out. And since I sometimes take on the responsibility of being the art person, Philadelphia has a thriving sticker art scene.
They do.
That's what I'm talking
that's
about, right?
Good.
So forget
yeah,
about the museums
good.
And the
yeah,
galleries.
That's good.
Walk
that's
the streets
good.
Of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Anywhere, as a matter of fact, you know, anywhere in Center City, and you know, slow your stride down as you pass the Philadelphia Weekly or City Paper or any other free like newspaper box, mm-hmm. and
just
check
stickers?
Out the stickers or the back of street signs and stop signs. There's a thriving sticker culture. And they're basically, there are two major players whom I know. One, the tag is Bob, and the other is El Toro. And they're everywhere. The artwork is interesting, and they each have their own character, and they just do multiple takes on this character, and they work tirelessly to get this stuff out.
It's everywhere.
And as an artist and as an art teacher, more importantly, like, we are always faced with this question, well, is it art, or is it important art, is it high art, fine art, etc.? And, you know, I would certainly make the argument that while many people wouldn't consider it art, or at least fine art or high art, these are guys that do their thing, you know, hours and hours a day in, day out, 7 days a week, and make no money. Mm-hmm. You know, so it kind of begs the question, which is the purer form of artistic expression? Somebody who's painting a landscape or a beach scene to put into a gallery so that someone buys it for their beach house, mm-hmm. you know, when that's kind of the underlying motivation, or someone who spends a ton of time to just put stuff out there to share it with people, and through no, and you know, they don't even have their real name on there, let alone any way to any,
yeah,
kind of make
any
kind of
money. They're the ones who influence. They're the ones who influence what, you know, styles mm. come about, or what you
yeah.
know, styles become popular. I think they're the forerunners of it, and then it kind
right.
of, you know, the paid artists might have been influenced by something they saw subconsciously.
Subconsciously, right? Exactly. Yeah. So it's out there, and there's a great magazine called Peel Magazine, which. Has plenty of photographs and covers Philadelphia as well as other major cities, both here in the United States and abroad. So it's P-E-E-L, Peel Magazine.
Russ.
Check it.
You're up, Russell.
All right. My Philadelphia shout-out is for a studio called Audio Post Philadelphia, and I say this because we're talking about, you know, where do some of the celebrities and so forth go when they're in Philly. One of the places is that studio, and that's because actually a good friend of mine, Scott Waz, owns that studio and runs it, and he kind of is bucking the trend of the classic studio that's like in the basement with no windows and dark and smoky. I mean, he's up on the 8th floor of a building right around 18th and Rittenhouse or something like that, and the reason why I say this is because, you know, if there's ever an opportunity that somebody's looking for a studio or asking where does this kind of stuff happen in Philadelphia,
RussDarkStudios.com.
No, Audio Post.
Oh, I know.
I'm not
Russ.
Set up for that.
I'm kidding.
I think M. Night Shyamalan would be quite disappointed if he were sitting in this room. But you know, so he's just a real good Philly character. He's
cool.
Really doing something great for the city, and he's again like bucking the trend. And if you go on the website, you'll see how cool his space is, and he's somebody worth throwing a shout out to.
Fantastic. And what's that, listeningpost.com?
Audio Post Philadelphia.
Boy, did I mishear that one.
Wow, Jeff.
I'm sorry, I was a bit distracted by shiny keys. I have a quick shout out. If we're talking Philadelphia and we're talking about bringing fantastic music that I like to Philadelphia, your one-stop shop is R5 Productions. Go there, r5productions.com. Sean Agnew has been bringing fantastic bands, indie bands, punk bands, great bands to the city for many, many, many years. God bless him. So, people, that was Podcast 38.
I was going to add, they do the twice a year punk rock flea market.
Oh, that's right, they do.
Which is a ton of fun.
Right, and Todd partakes in that.
But just not because of that, just go and have
right.
a ball.
Oh, not because you don't make thousands of dollars there selling your
wares. I
certainly
do not, no. But it's a ton of fun.
I always see you walking away from there with giant bags with the money sign on it. Well, people, we'd like to thank Rachel for coming out tonight, taking the train all the way out to the Netherlands of the Philadelphia area.
Yeah, where are we?
It doesn't matter where you are, okay? We're just going to put you back in the car, put the blindfold back on, and you'll be back to Funville in no time.
Okay, good.
Okay. That was Podcast 38. Thanks again, Rachel, and we'll see you guys later.
Thank you.
You're good.